Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team. And rear end problems and wedge salads, PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man, his crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a 2-hour lunch. A 2-hour lunch. The email started getting rough, the producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Brad Kirsch and Big Head 2, the Balding One and his Punch, Scalavino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, one of our better opens of all time right there.
Yeah, that's because somebody sent it in.
I tee it up, and Andy hits it out of the park.
Well, we know you're here. Did you fix that F-bomb? Has that been deleted from the system?
Yes.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Maybe. Idiot.
We're here until 2 o'clock, as we are every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And today is picks day, so around 1:30 we'll stop everything in our tracks and do our weekly picks.
Why is there a smut-filled calendar in front of me at my desk?
It's not smut. It's our Patriots cheerleaders.
I know. It's actually phenomenal.
The 2010 cheerleader. And you can get yours in the Patriots Pro Shop online.
And if you do, I highly recommend April 2010. Chrissy.
I like your boobs.
Yes. Andy has been
so does Chrissy, based on the fact that she's got her hands all over herself.
Andy's been in the studio for about 10 minutes. He hasn't taken his eye off that.
Andy's
it's unbelievable.
In love.
Yeah.
That's weird of me. Some phenomenally hot chick.
Say anything about
so
being
April
weird.
2010 Patriots cheerleader.
Pick one up. It's worth the purchase price. There's some good stuff in there.
Okay.
What
good.
Is the purchase price?
I think it's like $19.95.
Oh, never mind that. It's not worth the purchase price.
I thought $11.95 at most.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Again, we're here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots.
So
guys.
You got a little cold?
I'm a little stuffed
sound
up.
Sound a little nasally.
Not sure if it's the air or getting a little bit of a cold. I'm
swine
not sure.
Flu.
I hope not.
Yeah, the long flight to Denver, there was a lot of germs on that plane.
Oh, God.
That guy.
We got to talk about that. Anyway, you guys were in the locker room today. There was no Belichick press conference, but guys were available, and you said Vince Wilfork was holding court.
Yeah, Vince talked for a long time, and
you were belly to belly the whole time.
There
right?
were a lot of people, involved in that. Started off with a lot of questions, and I thought this was kind of surprising. A lot of Junior Seau questions, which I thought that was yesterday.
Really?
I thought that was yesterday's story. But you know, Vince talked about the ankle thing is not a big deal. You know, the whole
Red was right.
The whole hurt and injured thing. You know, you got to play through that kind of stuff, and there was no problem. And he talked
you
about
listening, Lawrence.
He talked about the fourth. The 4-3 and the 3-4, and you know, doesn't matter. You know, they have the ability to do both, because it was asked, you know, with Seau coming in and Mayo coming back, you know, maybe there's, you know, some opening the door for a little bit more 3-4. He didn't really bite. He said, we always can do both, and we always will do both, and it doesn't matter to him. Doesn't feel like one or the other allows him to make more plays. Asked a little bit about his contract. The question was about the CBA and the owners' meetings and that kind of stuff, and whether or not he's really paying attention. He said it involves me, but it doesn't really involve me, if you know what I mean. I mean, I'm set to be a free agent, but my agent handles all that stuff, and if there's something he needs to talk to me about, he'll call me. It's not really part, you know, it's not on my mind right now at all.
Good.
So I think he's playing at a very high level, yep. Seems very comfortable, and And I don't think it's a problem at all. I don't think that's an issue at all.
And I don't think that, you know, people talk about contract years, guys get up for that. I don't think Wilfork's one of those guys that takes his foot off the pedal once his deal is done. I don't think he would be like that type of person, you know.
No.
You know, I think he has some pride.
I think he's played
in who he is.
I think he's played at a really high level. And if you can't tell, I'm writing a story about him this week.
Okay.
I have no worries about the fear, the worries are physical.
There is a fear on some players. Oh, once he gets the money, I don't think he's one of those guys.
No. My fear with him is all
physical. I don't think
there
are a lot of those guys. I know that Seymour. Yeah, I agree with Andy. I think that's more of a fear is that he's a big guy and maybe breaks down. But I don't think it'll be breaking down because of a lack of effort.
What comes to mind is some of the guys that Washington has signed over the years. The defensive end comes to mind that they signed about 9 years ago. And he was a big. One of Snyder's first big
Bruce Smith?
No. Another guy.
LeVar Arrington?
It might have been Arrington.
But didn't he have injury issues?
Yeah. LeVar Arrington was different than most of the others. But what I think it's apples and oranges. I think Snyder normally signs. He makes big – he goes after big money guys that are past their prime. It's not necessarily a lack of desire, I don't think, has been the problem with the guys that he signed. I don't think they get the money and quit. Wow, Fred's not happy with the sub again.
I never ask for lettuce.
Don't throw a half of it out. I'll eat it if you don't.
I don't want the lettuce.
But anyway, I agree with you, Fred, your point about Wilfork. I don't think he's a guy that mails it in. I think he has too much pride.
And tomato?
Wow. Unbelievable.
All right. Keep going.
I'm done.
All right. So what else?
I agree with you about Wilfork.
Who else
think
was
he
talking
mails
in the locker room?
Anyone?
Junior Seau.
Yeah, for some reason Seau was a big target again today. I don't really get that, but he spoke yesterday at length, both at the podium and again in the locker room. And then today everybody kind of staked out his locker waiting for him to come in, and he talked again.
What would you put the percentage of him playing this weekend?
100.
You think Andy says 100% chance that he'll play this weekend. That's interesting. Now, last year he did the same thing, and he played. So, you know.
Yeah, I think he plays too. The reason I think Freddie is because this is not the typical guy you just sign off the street. This is, you know, and Bill talked about it yesterday. This is not something that just came up. They've been talking about it for a long time. So they had it in the plans.
Knows the system.
Junior knew they were going to sign him and when. So he's been preparing himself mentally. Knows the system. I think he steps right in and plays. I'm not saying he plays 60, 70 snaps, but I think he plays.
Now, I heard on The Big Show yesterday that the final two episodes of his TV show are New England Patriot episodes. His job will be linebacker New England Patriots on, what is it, Seau Does Jobs or Seau Sports Jobs?
So that's
jobs.
Obviously what when Bill talked about and Junior mentioned there are things going on between the Patriots and the network, that's what they were talking about.
So am I to assume, like, there could be film crews with some...
I hope this
here?
Doesn't become just a publicity stunt.
It's what it kind of feels like on some levels.
It didn't sound like that yesterday when Seau talked.
Well, but the timing feels like it. He was so adamant that he couldn't come until November or December, and now all of a sudden he needs to finish up his 8 episodes of a TV show and the final two. Oh, I'll show up early and do that.
Right.
Kind of feels a little funky.
I don't like that. Anyway, let's just hope that it's all about football for him anyway while he's here.
I kind of got the feeling even if he goes through the motions, he's just because he's Junior Seau, it seems like everything he does is the right thing to do in Bill's eyes. And even if he goes through the motions, it feels like the motions will be enough for him to help him a little bit.
Right.
But I talked to some, lesser types, but I did talk to Mike Matthews. I asked him how much he was licking his chops on the, when he got wide open and that 5 wide and Brady kind of saw him late. And he said he did get really excited. He even bent to the outside a little to kind of try to just avoid the muck of the middle of the field and stay open as long as he could. And he was just saw the ball in the air, just hoping. He's 12 yards, he thinks, is his longest reception ever. And this would have been, four times that. So he and then I said, hey, who knows? Maybe you'll get another chance like that. He goes, yeah, maybe this week. And I'm thinking, no bleeping way. That's happened in 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a blocking tight end.
Although with this secondary.
Yeah, but
this is a bad secondary.
It.
And, by the way, in terms of the Titans, Cortland Finnegan was probably their best defensive back, their best cornerback anyway. He did not practice yesterday. He's been nursing a hamstring pull, hasn't played the last couple of weeks. Doesn't look like he's 100% ready for this one either. And they're already missing their other corner, Nick Harper, who's out with a broken arm. And by the way, when those guys have been in, they're allowing 280 yards a game through the air. So it's not like the starters are, you know, it's not like they're missing Champ Bailey and Deion Sanders here. They're struggling.
So if you're the Titans, do you just throw the house at Tom Brady and just hope you get there because that's the only chance you have?
Well, they've been getting pressure. They just can't cover anybody.
Yeah.
The defense, the front seven of the defense isn't bad.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They're very tough against the run, and they get a couple of sacks a game. I think they have 10 sacks in five games, which isn't great, but it's not terrible either.
Right. If they get 10 sacks, they're probably getting, you know, twice that in pressures.
Yeah.
You know?
I think more for them is just another case of they got to run the ball. They're going to have not just Chris Johnson, but Lendale White. I have to think their plan coming in will be we got to try to hold on to the ball for 36, 38, 39 minutes and help our defense that way, control it, score at the end of the long drives, and hope it kind of plays out that that's enough to give us a close win. Because if the more Brady's on the field, the likelihood is, I don't care how much they're sputtering and not in sync on offense, they're going to find plays against, as Paul said, the starting secondary wasn't good, and now the backups of the secondary. Do you really expect them to play that much better? No.
I'm hearing bad weather. A lot of rain. Well, right now they're saying 40% chance of rain, so I shouldn't say that.
It's definitely going to be bad between now and the game.
But
the question is
somewhere between 35 and 45 degrees, so it's not going to be, you know, warm. If it does rain, it'll be kind of miserable.
Which you'd have to think benefits the Titans a little if they're looking to just run the ball and ball control and come in.
Right.
But I'm not sold that the Patriots won't be able to run the ball on them some, too. Yeah. You know, I still have some confidence in Sammy Morris and Kevin Falk and your boy Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah.
You really turned on him, huh?
Well, I'm just, you know.
Now it's like Paul's talking about Vince Wilfork in no way related to Lawrence Maroney in the running game, and you're throwing in shots at Lawrence Maroney.
What do you got there, Paul? Steak and cheese? They make a good steak and cheese.
Kind of like I was just talking. There was no way related to what Paul's eating, and you threw in a discussion about the food.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Steak bomb.
Steak bomb. All right, good.
No mushrooms.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Doc says I have to take breaks every half hour now because we're all full up with sponsors.
Contractually obligated. I like it.
Now, will all those breaks begin with an F-bomb?
Just the ones at the bottom of the hour.
Possibly.
Never your fault, though. Now, even though you were the one who told Tomash, I have the playlist queued up. Just hit the button.
Now, when
I said I had the playlist built.
When do Andy and I start doing our live reads? That get us a little extra something-something.
Yeah. Live reads. This is Andy Hart for American Air. It's American Airlines, right? Okay. Just want to make sure I had the right. American Airlines.
Every time I fly, I
only fly AA.
Except for when I'm
Andy
going
Hart.
To games.
Woo! American Airlines.
Every time I fly, I always go American Airlines.
Except when it's Delta.
Except, of course, when.
Or Virgin Atlantic.
It's a Patriots game.
Paul Perillo. I'm not just making an endorsement. I'm a user. Viagra is something that all.
See, now you missed the obvious one there is Rogaine.
Rogaine.
But you don't think that quickly.
No, because we know that doesn't work if you are using it.
How do you know I haven't just started?
I would like to know if you are to see if it's
going work. The wrong way.
If I haven't used it yet.
I saw you lose hairs between the locker room and here.
Screw you all.
All right. Webradiopatriots.com. All right. So anyone else talking in the locker room besides Seau and Wilfork?
No, there weren't many big group settings. It was a sparse attendance by the team.
And Eric will be here later with the practice report.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So, any news
Did
from Eric?
Did you guys have some news about Matt Light?
He walked through with no noticeable limp. I aired and I didn't specifically notice whether he had or didn't have a brace on, but in my mind, the image I'm looking back on now, I didn't see a big noticeable brace. And he certainly wasn't on crutches or huge limp or anything. He was just walking normally alongside Michael Matthews. So, interesting.
Hmm.
Interesting there.
So, is this one of those, like, you know, sometimes you turn an ankle in a game and you think, oh, it might be, but you actually
like
walk Wilfork. It off?
Like Wilfork.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I thought was going to be an injury, and clearly it wasn't. Maybe this will be the same kind of thing.
That would be amazing from the looks of it because it looks like he got shot during the game.
Certainly.
Didn't they literally carry him down to the locker room?
Oh, I don't know.
That's what I heard.
They carried him off the field. I know that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he wasn't putting any weight on it when he came off the field.
From the sidelines to the locker room, I don't know what happened. But he had a pretty big brace on.
Yeah.
After the game, so. And it was on his
knee. But that's also one of those things where I wonder, what they have with them.
Right. Here's the brace.
Do they have this and this? So it's either an air cast or, like, I can't imagine they have 17 different braces for 17 degrees of injury. My guess is
right.
they have, like, two knee braces.
Right.
And it's, whether it's a minor injury or a major, you're getting the serious brace put on.
Right.
And then when we get back to New England, it'll be reassessed.
That makes sense.
Because, you know, they can't travel with everything. They can't have every possible medical.
Right.
So I think that is a possibility there where we make too much of, oh, the guy was in a brace and a sling. Well, maybe that's what they do for every injury for a left arm or whatever.
Right.
So
definitely makes sense.
But based on what he looked today, it's a shorter term injury than I first expected it would have been.
Because
I expected at least a week or two of something else before Light came back.
Well, I forget. Somebody was on the field. One of our camera guys. It's done for the year. You know. So, but again, that goes back to, you really can't speculate on these injuries.
No.
You just don't know, you know. So we really shouldn't get on Bill Belichick when he refuses to get specific about these things because he doesn't even really know.
Well, he knows a lot more than we do.
Everybody's recovery time is different. Degrees,
I'm not a doctor.
You know, it just there's no sense in being saying something and being wrong half the time.
Sure.
You know.
In a side note, slightly similar, I watched a little UFL again last night.
Oh yeah.
Mean Gene Merchkowski got rolled up on like I've never seen before. I thought he tore every ligament in both ankles and both knees. He got helped off, carried off. But slew of expatriates on the California team, I believe it was. Jermaine Wiggins, Chaz Gessner. Jermaine Wiggins playing like fullback and H-back. Gessner at wide receiver. Merchkowski was playing guard, I believe. Just a lot of notable names in that league. That's what I've known. Matt Bryant was the kicker.
I thought they were going to do that in the spring.
No.
Oh.
I think the theory involved long term is they'd like to have guys
squad.
Be called up.
Yeah, it's a taxi
like
squad.
Like they've been playing. They're in game shape. They're, you know, boom, ready to go. I mean, I would say theoretically, long term, they'd like to even have some sort of schematic crossover so that maybe if you're a 3-4 team, one of the teams in the league runs some form of 3-4, so your linebacker is playing some 3-4 stuff and gets called up. Kind of like the NBA Developmental League, you know, players can go back and forth and, you know, there's three or four teams are assigned to one team, so their players go there.
That's not good for the fans, though, because you start following a guy and then he's gone and, you know.
No, I know, but in minor league baseball, I mean, I think they take pride in guys coming up and saying, that's our guy. That's our Las Vegas Marauder who's now helping the Patriots
win. That's what
win.
You would hope for is that when the guys make it, the fans gravitate to that guy. He's their guy. Remember,
right.
I saw him play in New Britain, you know, whatever, in the minor league, you know, the minor
the question
league baseball
I have
outpost.
For those, minor league baseball is clearly built on local following. TV is kind of an afterthought. It's getting attendance, people to the park, concessions, all that. Is this league looking to build a local following with people in the stands, or do they want to be something people watch on TV, and that's where they'll make their money off TV? And I don't know which will be the target.
I do think football is the unique one there in that they could possibly pull it off because it's the once-a-week thing. You know, with baseball, hockey, and basketball, the minor leagues, it's useless to do any kind of a national television contract because there are just too many games. The only people that are interested are the local people. And the games are on locally in a lot of places, depending on what the sport and what the market is. But it doesn't make any sense to me to have those sports on nationally. But football, you know, on a cable company like Versus, too, it's not like ABC, you know, or anything like that. I think you could carve out a niche. You know,
that's Junior's network. Watch it.
I've kind of liked what I've seen. I mean, it hasn't been horrible. Football. It's looked better than NFL Europe.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like blowing your knee up in a UFL game, though?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough.
I hope Mean Gene didn't. And I bet he kind of regrets retiring now and then popping back up in the UFL and getting hurt in the UFL. If he had just stayed here, who knows? He might still be here. Right? As a backup.
Well, he got cut.
No, I know, but he was back again and then retired. I mean, you don't know how things shake down. He took himself out of the mix before he was asked to leave the mix.
You sure on that?
Yeah, he retired.
No, I know that he retired, but I thought he got cut and then retired.
Oh, I thought he retired.
No, I'm pretty sure he got cut first.
Oh. Whatever.
Last summer, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I thought he retired.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com.
You're probably right. You remember that stuff
really
better
care.
Than I do.
Kamani's mad at me. He says, I'm very disappointed in your reaction to the Patriots' loss. The Patriots lost to the Kyle Orton-led Broncos. How can we think Super Bowl when we can't even beat a team that is supposed to be rebuilding?
Yeah, Fred.
I think
I'm going to defend you, Fred. I'm going to defend you. I can't believe I'm doing it, but I'm going to use your line of thinking. What we supposed to think of these teams? So, in other words, if we beat the Tennessee Titans, we're supposed to do handsprings this week because they were supposed to be a great team.
Right.
And we lost to Denver, who's 5-0, but was supposed to be a rebuilding team.
Right.
We're supposed to look at that as more than just a loss because right. it was that way. No, right now
they're playing great.
Denver's playing well, right. and Tennessee's playing like crap.
Right.
So Denver's would have been a much more impressive win.
Right. Look, you look at the only team that has done the whole season and not lost a game is the Patriots and the Dolphins. Other than that, every Super Bowl winner in the history of the NFL has lost games during the season. Now, some of them lost them to the other.
I like how we threw the Patriots in that. There's only been one Super Bowl winner who's done that.
You know, now some of those teams lost to other teams that were also contenders. But I would imagine if you go back in the history of NFL winners, they had a game, at least a game, in every season that they shouldn't have lost to. They shouldn't have lost. They were the better team, but they lost anyway.
I don't know. How about the 14-2 Patriots in 2004 losing to 2-11 Miami?
There you go. You know, perfect example.
Right.
Perfect example. So
2003, we lost to a bad Washington team.
You just can't get so knee-jerk on every win and loss. You know, if you think your team is good enough in the beginning of the season to go all the way, until they're mathematically out, stick with it.
So Tennessee fans should still think their team is...
Well, 0-5, it's almost a little bit...
Not mathematically out.
Well, the best they can be is 11-5 if they win every game from here on in, here on out. So,
well, that's
and that'll probably get you a wild card.
That's the way they got to think
could.
Of it.
Yeah, that's the way they have to think about it.
But so.
They're still passionate. My mother was down there last week.
I don't think they're doing it.
They're doing Code Blues, and they're still very passionate about this season. I forgot what the Code Blues are, but there's all kinds of stuff.
I'm telling you, Andy.
Spray paint and like everywhere. And I told her they should probably give up because, let's be honest, 0-5, pack it in.
The stamp is on it, buddy. You remember.
There's even cheese in this. Every
why are you telling me? I didn't order it.
Every time I order a tuna, it's just tuna. All of a sudden, I got lettuce, tomato, and cheese.
I'll be honest with you, though. Every time you order a tuna, you bitch about the tuna. So I don't know why you keep ordering the tuna.
That's a good point right there, the big head might
You have bitched every time you've gotten a tuna sub.
Well, I'm not bitching. I'm just...
You're bitching. No. Bitching, the person hearing gets to assess whether you're bitching or not, and you're bitching.
It's just a lot of tuna. It's you know, they don't need to put that much in it.
So tell them next time, no lettuce, no tomato, no cheese, and half the tuna.
Well.
Light on the tuna. Large tuna sub. Light on the tuna, please.
All right. Let's see.
What else we got? Come on, don't be mad at Fred, by the way. That's his job.
We'll be mad at Fred, but not for that reason.
Yeah, but I mean that's his job. If we don't have a guy who's telling
he's
us
the
that,
Jesus
that,
of homers.
Yes, that's his job. So you can't get mad at Fred Carmani. Stay mad at Eric. That was more
although
fun.
He's the Jesus of homers after like 20 Last Suppers, not filling out that form.
Joe writes in.
He wouldn't be able to go on the cross. The cross,
cross would break. The nails would give way.
Is this inappropriate to talk about?
We've reached a new level there. We've never said stuff like that.
Eric would be very mad.
Joe writes in. He says on Tuesday's podcast we were talking about FUD.
Yeah, I have no idea what that
is.
Means, still.
It's pronounced FUD, like Elmer Fudd, and it stands for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Something Patriots Nation can do without.
I've never heard it before.
Fear, uncertainty,
I've
and
never
doubt.
Heard that.
I've heard FUBAR.
I tried for a crappy rhyme there so I could sound cheesy like Andy, and I overclarified so I could sound pompous like Eric. So.
Yeah, but Eric doesn't work to sound pompous. That's the difference.
Who was
most
that,
other
that,
people have to.
That hooked us up?
Joe.
Joe. Thank you, Joe, because I had never heard that one.
I've never FUD.
FUD. I guess it's like a marketing thing, too. They use it. You Lubricants. Can't have fear, uncertainty. I don't know.
Fear, uncertainty, and what?
Like ABC, doubt. Always be closing?
Well, the other one I heard is PUFF, pick up the effing phone. But, you know.
So it's?
P-U-F-P.
Stupid.
Yeah.
If it's harder to figure out what the acronym means, it doesn't expedite anything.
Yeah.
But it's like so many people now with fear, the Twitter and the texting and the email, just pick up the, you know, phone.
Fear, uncertainty, and doubt?
Yeah.
Okay.
FUD.
You're going to work FUD. Into a Pulse story? No, yeah. You'll do it in a commentary where you force in your pop culture reference.
Well, that's not a pop culture reference. It's nothing to do with Britney Spears.
Speaking of tweets, Did you hear what Jeff Fisher said yesterday?
No.
Somebody was referencing him. He's part of the competition committee.
Yeah.
And I guess Mortensen tweeted something about the competition committee, and Fisher said, I'm not familiar with that report. And somebody said, it's a tweet. And he goes, to me, that's a cartoon character. And just moved on. I like it.
All right, 12:26.
No, no, it's
12:27. We have to take a break to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in a shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
Can you read some of the tweets?
What?
why is it that you almost never... Unbelievable.
Oh,
God.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. By the way, Stripper says Murchowski did retire July 26, 2008.
Yeah, no, I know he retired. The question was whether or not he retired before they released him.
I don't know. Murchowski came out of retirement by signing with the Florida Tuskers of the United Football League.
Yeah.
Tuskers?
Yeah.
Florida Tuskers.
Florida Tuskers.
What's a Tusker?
I don't know. Something with a tusk? Do you know what a tusk is?
I know what a tusk is.
And Strippers also says that Wiggins is on the Florida Tuskers as well.
Yeah, and so was Gessner, I think.
How are you boys going to do this week, Strippers? I'm assuming he's been getting after it with John Rook.
Yep.
Big game this week, Freddie. You watching
Texas, it? Texas, Oklahoma.
You watching it?
I'll probably thumb around. I'll watch it, yeah.
USC.
I like
when is
college football?
Saturday.
I know. What time?
During the day. I don't know.
It might
I think
be at night. It
Notre
might be...
Dame USC is 3:30, so I'm guessing that's either a night game or an early game.
I just found out our game was a 4 o'clock game when I drove under that big flashing board on Route 1 that said, traffic, 4:15, Sunday.
Oh, by the way.
By the way.
Some news. I'm not sure I'm supposed to say this, but I'll say it anyway.
Well, this is always the place to disclose the news that you're not sure if you're supposed to disclose.
Bon Jovi?
The Patriots-Jets game has been protected by CBS, so that is not eligible for flex.
Oh.
So that will stay.
Good little nugget there, Freddie.
That will stay a 1 o'clock game no matter what.
Can I put that in first down?
Hmm?
Can I put that in print and first down?
I don't know. Ask Stacy.
Are you sure that it can't be moved to 4?
It might. I guess it can be moved to 4 if CBS has a doubleheader. Yeah. But it can't be moved to a night game.
Can't be moved to a night game.
Yeah.
Which is good news.
What's the matter, Doc?
Because that was a candidate.
I thought that was a 4:15 game, no?
It might be.
It might be.
It can't move to a night game.
It can't be moved to a night game, which is good news for us.
We don't.
I thought you said it was a 1 o'clock game.
Whatever it is.
No one
it's a
does
day
a better
game.
Job of us.
It's a day game, and it's CBS has protected it. So whatever it is now,
it won't be the night game.
It won't be a night game.
Yes, the Jets game, November 22nd, is 4:15.
Right, so it can't
so
be moved to the
night. That's where
night.
It will stay.
Right.
Because it's certainly not going to change it to a 1 o'clock game.
Right.
Did you see that Rush Limbaugh is out? He's been dropped from the group. We generally make fun of WEEI, but I have to give their whiner line credit yesterday. They made me laugh out loud when I was driving home. Someone called in and said, Rush Limbaugh's upset. He thought when he was trying to become a minority owner that he actually got to own minorities.
You're making my point.
It was funny. There was another Patriots-related one that I won't say on the air because it was, let's just say, Nick Kazier-related.
We're probably going to be in pretty good shape in terms of the flex scheduling.
Yeah.
Because that was really the only game, I think, that was in danger. We play two night games anyway, New Orleans and Miami. One of them's a Monday night game, so that stays.
I bet the Miami one could flex out.
That could actually flex out. You're right.
But now they look good again, so it could stay.
Right.
But the last four games, I don't think... You know, the Patriots have two losses already, so it's not like the undefeated thing is going to make it attractive. But Carolina, Buffalo, Jacksonville, and Houston, I can't imagine that they're going to want to flex any of those games to night games.
Yeehaw!
So that should have us in pretty good
we like
stead.
That. Yeah.
And those are all 1 o'clock games. All four of those are scheduled for 1 o'clock
Beautiful.
Games.
Beautiful.
You sound a little like Capello right there.
I love it. I know. We get gleeful at 1 o'clock games.
It makes life a lot easier.
All right, David from Pennsylvania writes in, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Wait, I do need to say, Adam Schefter's number five trade deals that should happen heading into the NFL trading deadline.
Yeah. Steven Jackson?
Sean Merriman to the Patriots for a second-round pick.
Really?
Now, I'm assuming should happen means Adam Schefter saying it makes sense, it should happen.
Okay, in his
opinion. I'm hearing it could happen.
So you get Merriman and Sayo?
See, now, I got to tell you something.
That's just a funny – only you would like.
The scope –
How many linebackers we need?
But the scope of our
– Wait, now we signed a 40-year-old who said he's got six games in him, and suddenly we have a glut at the linebacker?
I ignored that. But I just think the scope of our influence is now taking off. Andy threw that out there last week.
Schefter, who we know, knows of us. He's been on the show. He listens.
He's a friend of the show.
He runs with it.
Yeah. Okay. David,
would you do it? Last week we were posing threes and fours. It's a two.
What's his health like right now?
And I don't know.
I think
he's playing.
To me, it's all health related. If he's in good health, I think I might do that.
I think you're in the window of right now. He's healthy enough to play. Has he fully returned, or is he still getting better? Has he lost something via the injury, or are you still in that window of, well, it takes a full year plus blah, blah, blah? That's the question I have right now.
Okay.
But two is a little bit upping the ante from what we were posing. Now, the Patriots have extra twos next year, correct?
That is correct.
Three twos right now or four?
I think it's three, but I don't know.
I'd do it. I'll take the chance. If I can roll the dice on Marquise Hill and Chad Jackson, I'll roll the dice on Sean Merriman.
If that's the case, you might as well just hand the Lombardi over. Why bother playing?
Acquiring a guy that may or may not have a single sack.
This defense never gives up over 17 points.
In regulation.
Well,
did you see how I wrote it in my commentary because I wanted to blow him?
Yes.
Per
I'm
four
sure
quarters
you can't say that either, by the way.
Mike Felger said...
I don't care what Mike Felder
says. He's on real radio. The FCC listens to him. So if he can get away with it, he said sucking people off in Foxborough on the real radio.
Give me a break.
He did.
He did. Fred heard it.
But he gets so mad.
Because it's ridiculous. It's very inappropriate. Like, if I were in the...
So you just say it anyway.
No, but that's a station I could be in the car listening with my kid. Daddy, what is sucking people off mean?
I agree with you. I think that's ridiculous.
I have a daughter to think about now.
That's scary for everybody.
Is that Eric on TV?
Anyway, David from Pennsylvania. As of now, we know that the full season that this team, our team, is 5-2 right now because of the offense.
Yes.
What?
Did you say 5-2?
Well, we're not 5-2 yet, but I guess.
Patriots are right where they want to be, baby. 5-2.
Since Joey Galloway is basically an old receiver and a bust, why not get starving Marvin Harrison? I know he's an old receiver, but since Galloway is an old one also, why not take the chance on Marvin Harrison? What's there to lose? You can get him, stay under the cap, and I have a receiver on our offense that played on an explosive offense like ours. See, I think the problem with Galloway is that he never played with a quarterback like Brady, like Marvin did. What? What are you doing?
It wasn't for you.
What, you can't flash things around like
you're
that.
You're reading.
I'm going to look
your
over.
What is problem? Why are you on edge? You got itchy trigger finger today.
He's flashing signs. And then half the time, well, why didn't you look at the sign?
Gang-related symbols.
Three second-round picks. We have 3 second-round picks. So if you wanted to ship one for Merriman, you could do it easily.
All right, I continue with David. I think the problem with Galloway is that he never played with a quarterback like Brady, like Marvin did. He never was in a pass-first, run-second, explosive offense. Marvin Harrison played his whole career with Brady's stunt double, Peyton Manning, and all he did was make all these kinds of reads at the line and run all the exact same kind of plays we do. I think Marvin would fit in beautifully here.
Yeah.
And how do you guys feel the offense would be if it was lined up like this? Moss out wide, Harrison or Galloway out wide, and Welker and Edelman in the slots. You have the wides going down the field, taking the safeties, leaving Speedy, Welker, Edelman, and Taylor one-on-one with the linebackers. I haven't yet seen that formation. If it has been used already, I'm sorry. The Pats have only been on TV 2 times so far where I live. Well, and one last thing. I know we are saying that we lost the Jets game because Welker was not playing. I didn't say that, and I agree with that. Welker is the perfect receiver to have when you're playing a blitzing team. Do you think we lost to the Broncos because Fred Taylor was not playing? We would having his running game in there have opened up the offense more and made things easier for play action and the passing game. Thanks and love listening to all you guys on all the shows. All of you are great. And P.S. say no to T.O.
Wait, we want Harrison, but not T.O.?
Yeah, I think Harrison's a bad guy, too.
He's got nothing left.
And I think, more importantly, he's got nothing left.
He's got no knees.
He hasn't done a thing for 3 years in Indianapolis.
Except,
and he probably only stayed in Indianapolis that long because he's Marvin Harrison, and they owed it to him.
One thing he has done is...
shoot a guy.
Play a role in a shooting.
Okay. Details.
On some level, he was involved in a crime.
Right.
Marvin Harrison.
Plus, you'd have to pay him. The whole theory.
Marvin
they
Harrison
paid
was a great receiver.
Galloway. You'd have to pay both. Yeah. You're adding salary.
Yeah, and so that I'm not sure about the cap that you know we just kind of blew off there. And also, if you listen to any of the stuff that's written about him nationally, the reason he's not in the league right now is because he won't come back for nothing.
Right.
He is, you know, he has made the stance that he'd rather not play than take less than he thinks he's worth. So I'm not sure that you just snap your fingers and get him under the cap
and
right
based
now.
Based on that, sounds like he certainly isn't a perfect fit. He would fit in perfectly.
Right, and I don't think there's any similarity whatsoever other than the fact that they have great quarterbacks with the Patriots offense and Indianapolis' offense. Right. And if you listen to Bill talk about it, it's night and day. They line up their receivers in the same spot all the time, and they do the same things. They've been doing the same things for 8-10 years with Peyton Manning. The Patriots are a game plan offense that changes by the week.
It is amazing, though, and Bill said this couple years ago about the Colts offense. Guys get wide open. You know, whether it's Dallas Clark or, you know, Reggie Wayne, guys get wide open downfield. I don't know how they do it, what they're doing to fool the safeties or whatever, but doesn't it seem to happen a lot with them?
But it seems to happen a lot with the Patriots, too, and I'm astounded by it every week. Yeah. That, you know, how Randy Moss can be as open as he is at times. How Wes Welker can come so free on a key third down and eight, you know?
That
how
Welker Mike play, Matthews. That Welker play was something you see with the Colts. I mean, he was wide open.
Yeah.
If Brady hits him, he's gone.
Yeah. And I think that we've
maybe
seen.
Maybe that's the difference.
I think we've seen Brady hit him.
Manning hits him.
Oh, stop it. Yeah, and we've seen Brady hit him more often than not.
I got Fred to play along.
Well, this year? What else
you
can you say?
You are pissed at Brady, huh?
You're just pissed at everybody.
I'm known
today,
for my objectivity.
I've often said that.
You know, David is from Atlanta. I want to first mention that I don't see T.O. coming to New England for a few reasons. I think if we offered to bring him to the Patriots during the offseason, he would have taken that over Buffalo. He is now producing lower than anyone thought he would. I understand that we thought Joey was going to be an impact player, but it appears T.O. may not be either. But
I'd be willing to bet that he would be an impact player if he came here.
Let's look at
some games at some times he would make plays for this team.
Let's look at T.O.'s stats. In Dallas, he had 38 touchdowns in 3 years. That's 266 points with extra points made. It's hard to say that he wouldn't be an impact player in New England. I've had a few dead-end jobs before, and nothing feels worse than hopelessness. He is in Buffalo feeling like he isn't going to win five games a year. I can understand why he underperforms. If we could suit him up as a Patriot, I believe that we could see a transformation like Moss. Maybe I'm going too far back in time, but I feel that T.O. has more talent than Moss. How many times have you seen him go up for the ball with triple coverage and come down with it? Give him a chance with
Moss.
Winning team, and you'll see results.
It's my quarterback.
I agree with that whole email, except for that he's more talented than Moss. But I definitely think that he's, and we talked about it yesterday, he's in Buffalo, and he knows it's hopeless right now. He knows it.
Yeah.
And he's immature, and it's all about him. So it's hopeless. He's mailing it in, just like Randy did in Oakland.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it.
Yeah.
That's what he did, and that's what Randy did in Oakland.
Yep.
He thought it was a hopeless situation. He was highly productive in Minnesota. He's been highly productive here because those teams had chances to win.
Right.
While we're on the Schefter five that should happen.
Could really go for a candy bar.
T.O. to Chicago for a four was one of them, like the number two trades that should happen to the
Bears.
Yeah,
I think that Randy Moss is more gifted than T.O. T.O.'s stronger, physically stronger, and maybe can take a pounding over the middle that Randy wouldn't do. But in terms of going up among three defenders, I've seen Randy Moss do that 10, 12 times in 2007.
Yep.
And if you watch PFW TV, Paul wants to see it again.
I want to see it again, baby.
Mike Vandalism has a new MP3. Suppose we don't get a lot of those anymore. That idea didn't take off.
We never did get a lot of them
anymore.
We got three of them.
We got a few.
We stopped playing one.
So let's hear Mikey Vandalism's MP3.
What's up, Fred, Paul, Andy, Eric, Doc? This is Mikey Vandalism coming back to PFW in progress, baby. Back with another premium questions. So my question for this week is going to be in regards to the struggling New England offense. And I know you're probably saying, you know, we get enough of these, and the Patriots have already lost two games, and everybody thinks it's all downhill from here. I necessarily don't think that, but obviously they are not clicking on all cylinders, and they need to figure out how they're going to be implementing Joey Galloway into the system. If not, they need to send him packing and find somebody that will do that job and fill that role as the third receiver. If that's the case, do you see them making any trades before the trading deadline? And if not, what other options do you think that they're going to present to solve this issue on the New England offense? Do you think that they could possibly take somebody like Terrence Nunn off the practice squad and give him a try? I understand that, you know, he is a practice squad player, but
how long are we going here?
And what other options do we have to get this offense clicking? I mean, we're getting kind of desperate. We don't really have that many people. We let Greg Lewis go. And there's not really any NFL receivers that are out there that I really would rather see, I mean, on the Patriots. So, I mean, they might have to look in-house for this if we don't make any trades. So what's your output
up
on this, and where do you see us moving forward in the future? All right, guys, I'm outie.
Mike, you're the best. Love the MP3s. Send in another as soon as you can.
That was a long one.
I don't think there's a lot of options out there.
Galloway
gets
Nunn
gets promoted, I think, are the two most likely scenarios.
Yeah, and I heard you, Andy, I know that you've talked about the fact that receivers haven't gotten it at the beginning, it's not like they've suddenly had a bell go off or a light go off and get it midway through the season. So my hopes for Galloway aren't really strong right now. I do, however, think they need to just throw him out there and see what kind of contribution you can get from him, or cut him, because I don't think it makes it much sense to keep him on the roster if you're not going to use him at all.
I agree. What you have asked PFW this week, right?
Yeah.
So one of the questions I've seen a few times come in that you may be answering after
Probably
the trade deadline is the Deion Branch. People seem to be in love with the idea of Deion Branch returning. I see all these highlights of Seattle. I don't see Deion Branch doing much.
He had
I don't
one
know.
Good game. He had six catches.
Any
in one
chance
game.
Of that?
I mean, I think this with Patriots, there's always a chance for moves like that.
Because it would seem to make sense. They don't. So he's not what they wanted him to be in Seattle. They've moved past that. They have other receivers.
I think he was inactive in week one. I think he caught two passes in week two. And I want to say in three or four, he caught six passes. And then he did. I saw the highlights. They won 41-0 last week, and he did nothing. It was all Burleson.
I'd make a trade for him.
And the other guy there.
Hushmanzada?
Hushmanzada.
I'd make a trade for him.
Still stinks. Anyway. Yeah, I would take.
And I think Tom Brady would.
What would you give up for him?
A mid-round pick. I think he's healthy. I mean, what did he have this offseason after? He came back last year and against us had the big game
Huge.
Where he had the big play where he ran out of gas but made Junior Seau look like a guy who had just gotten off his surfboard. If he's that guy, if I can get that guy, I'll take him. His relationship with Brady, I think he'd be a nice number three. He'd give Edelman some time to develop, kind of take some pressure off there. I would certainly trade a fourth round. I'd trade a third round pick. I don't know if I'd go number two, but third round pick for him.
You don't know if he'd go number two, huh? Sorry.
Well done, Paul Perillo.
Peter King is tweeting, and he says,
What did he say?
Patriots left tackle Matt Light walks through locker room without crutches. Good job, Ian. Tennessee sure to send house at Brady. Light's important.
How dumb is Peter King?
Does anybody know what that means?
What?
Patriots, good job, Ian?
Ian must have been the person that sent it to him or somebody. Was Peter King here today?
No.
No, so somebody, no. Ian must have sent him that update. So, whoever Ian is, I don't know.
I assume Rappaport?
The Maybe. Rap sheet?
From the Herald?
I bet he has one.
Maybe.
Rap sheet.
Brian from Santa Cruz, California. Hey, guys, and the 40-year-old virgin. I would have gone with a gay joke, 37. But apparently Eric's panties are prone to bunching. Just a quick question for the gang today. Last show, you guys were ranting on your opinions regarding overtime periods. If I recall correctly, while I was watching the game last Sunday, which was actually aired in California for once, I saw a stat that said Brady was 7-0 in overtime before this loss. Going with
Correct.
The theme of yesterday's overtime rant, how many of those seven wins have come on Brady's first possession, and how many has he won when they lost the toss? Thanks, and as always, keep up the great work.
I don't know the record on losing the toss and whatnot, but I know that several of those wins were on the first possession when they won the toss. I can think of one where they lost it was at Miami. They lost the toss in that the long touchdown pass to Troy Brown.
Right.
Miami actually had a chance to kick a field goal to win that game, and Seymour blocked it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they threw a bomb for a touchdown. But Kansas City is one I'm pretty sure they won the toss, went right down and kicked a field goal. Oakland playoff game in the snow, they won the toss, went down and kicked a field goal. San Diego, his first year, they won the toss, went down and kicked a field goal. So, I mean, I know it's only like 52% that you win the toss. To me, that's a significant advantage, that more than half the time, all you have to do is win the toss and you win the game. That's a significant edge to me.
Chris from Stanford, just a quick check. Oh, he's talking about the Tuskers and all that stuff.
Well,
by the way,
tell me what a Tusker is?
Stripper tells us that a Tusker is a wild boar, which roams wild through the Everglades in the state of Florida.
Nice.
I didn't know that.
Is there a more, like, I don't know, just despicable place than the Everglades? Everything is in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's everything in the Everglades.
Yeah. Plenty of bodies.
You could die so many different ways in the Everglades. And wild boar just roaming around.
And, you know,
big deer on the road.
Down
today,
in southern Florida, when people have those pools in the backyard, they have to put high fences around it and almost enclose it because things crawl in during the night.
I hate Florida. Hate it.
It really is. There's a lot of disease down there.
It smells.
It never dries out.
Yeah. It's always got a musty stink.
Things incubate down there.
Yeah, well, especially in certain areas.
Yeah. It's very difficult.
But apparently Tuskers is a good name.
But no update on the game time, huh, strippers? Or a scouting report?
No, nothing yet. Stephen Ames. Hey, Peckerwoods, he says.
That's our boy.
Thank you again, Stephen. Not for calling us Peckerwoods.
Just wanted to drop an email your way letting you know we had a good trip to Denver despite the loss. That's the thing about sports. You don't know how it's going to go, and that's why we watch. It was great getting to shake Robert Kraft's hand and meet you guys in person. I would also like to thank Barry Insion for setting everything up. Chicago sounds good for me next year, but is next year's schedule set yet?
No, April.
As far as knowing the opponents, do we know that? Is that out?
Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit.
Okay.
And there's
so we don't know.
There's always the two wildcats. What they did when they started when they expanded to Houston in 2002, they set the schedule from 2002 through 2009. They recently, but within 6 months, I think, Andy, right? They made the agreement they're going to continue that rotation.
Right.
So it's not all up,
right.
mapped
out.
But if you
know
where, they were, right. You can figure it out. And we'll probably get that in first down, in the coming weeks as the season winds down.
Another person we met in Denver is Johnny from L.A.
Hey!
No time Johnny. To waste here risking my job to write this now since submitting emails during the show is the only way to get them read. All right! One, it was great to meet you all at the Poorhouse, Fred, Paul, and Eric. Exceeded my already high expectations. Wow. And as far as Andy goes, the next time I fantasize about choking him, maybe it'll be with the only one hand instead of two. What does that mean?
Won't squeeze my neck.
Okay. Two.
Thought there was a chicken involved.
Well, choking one. Two.
I know. That's what I was talking about. You didn't have to explain.
Speaking of the Poorhouse, what an awesome event, as was the tailgate. Great job by Barry, Ann, and everybody else involved. There's a very good chance the Pats return to Denver next year, and I say we do it all over again if that's the case. Three, note to Josh McDaniels. This is the NFL. Please behave accordingly. Watching his post-game reaction, I was embarrassed for him. You didn't win the Super Bowl, bro. You won a week five home game. Yay. Four, I had to drive.
You didn't really say that. Fred just wrote it.
No, he said it.
Just kidding.
I had to drive through Utah twice. If there are nicer people on this planet than the residents of that state, I'd be shocked.
If you had 12 wives, you'd be happy too.
By the way, these are 10 points. Five, I still can't believe I met Bob Kraft twice, but as nice as he was, I found it strange that he refused to talk to me about his macaroni and cheese business. He doesn't own it. Six, after all the hoopla yesterday, Eric didn't email my sister.
He claims the email was deleted. He needs her to email in again.
Well, he says that strikes me as queer.
That's probably accurate, but he claims one of you people deleted the email and it deleted it from his
But it doesn't
file.
Delete from his box.
He said if the master one does,
that's
it goes.
Not true.
That's not true.
He said he couldn't find it.
Oh, wait a minute. It could. If he is accessing the web radio mailbox, it would be good.
Yes, yes. But he doesn't. He accesses Eric Scalavino with a web radio folder just like I do.
Oh, really?
And so all of those emails were in my
Well, can you forward it to him or something?
I don't have it now. I deleted it.
Well, Catherine, please email in again.
I emailed her and asked her if she wanted to call in.
She's calling right now.
Thinking ahead, maybe the Pays, he thinks Pats, will wind up back in Denver for a playoff game. That got me thinking, can anyone name the last team to beat Belichick twice in one season?
Denver.
Denver did? Yeah.
In 05.
Yeah. And if you count preseason, Giants did. Right?
Yeah, I don't count preseason. But,
nor does the NFL.
Denver did it in 05. I don't think it's been done since then.
Eight, having lived in San Diego for 9 years and been to my share of Chargers game, put me on record as saying a true test of good Denver will be the upcoming Monday night game and not the home game versus an identity challenge Pats team. I hope San Diego wins by 70. It could be a good
test. I think San Diego will win that game because I think San Diego is generally a front-running home team.
Nine.
They play well at home.
Colts, Broncos, Saints, Vikings, and Giants. Who stays undefeated the longest?
Colts, Vikings.
Broncos, Saints, and Giants.
Broncos, Saints, and
I'd
Giants.
I have to look at their schedule.
Right.
Well,
here's
the problem is the Giants and Saints play Sunday. So you got to pick one of them, whoever you think is going to win.
Right.
I think the Giants right now are the best team in football.
I'll stick with the Manning brothers, one of them.
It doesn't mean they're going to be undefeated the longest. Like I said, they have, you know, a tougher game. Indy, I think, has a couple of cupcakes coming up. And then I think their next test is the Patriots, actually. Mm-hmm.
Fred, will you watch, I know it's ridiculously early, but will you watch a Manning Super Bowl?
Of course.
Oh, I thought you'd be one of those that would boycott it.
I watched it last time. He was in it.
You were lying your ass off.
Andy, want to repeat it?
No, move on.
Would you watch
if they played each other?
Giants, Colts,
Super Bowl. Of course I would.
Are you being honest?
Yes.
How could you not watch the Super Bowl?
Right.
I know.
He's very emotional and get his panties in a bunch like Eric and goes off.
Do you hate the Giants?
I root for bad things for both of them.
Never mind. Never forget I said that.
Do I hate the Giants?
Yeah, forget I said that.
All right. Oh, he hates the Mannings.
No, but it was a New York thing, but I forgot about
the
Super Bowl that should no longer be named.
I really don't hate the Mannings.
I don't.
I like Peyton Manning.
So penis head is a term of endearment.
That's okay. It's just making fun of him.
I like the good quarterback.
Peyton Manning is so good. How can you not like him?
Well, that's what I've always said, and you've always yelled at
Andy and I for that.
How you cannot respect him is ridiculous.
If Tom Brady was
No, I didn't. No,
you've
I
made
didn't.
Fun of him many, many
I made
times.
Fun
and
of
not
him.
Just not just his appearance. You've made fun of his play.
No, but yes. I think he's great.
And if Tom Brady was on another team, I don't think I would think about him the same way I do when he's on my team, but I would respect the hell out of him for being good. Just like I think that Roethlisberger is good and Drew Brees is good and, you know, Carson Palmer is pretty good. I mean, I think the good quarterback play is hard to come by.
And finally, Kansas City Titans, St. Louis, and Carolina, who stays winless the longest?
Kansas City Titans, St. Louis, and Carolina. St. Louis.
I think Tampa Bay is the worst team in football.
It wasn't a choice.
Oh. Why?
They won a game.
No, they haven't.
No, they haven't, but...
Well, he doesn't have them in there.
He didn't, it wasn't a choice.
Oh, okay. Then St. Louis, then. St. Louis, I think... Tampa Bay and St. Louis, to me, are the worst teams in football.
All right. More email before we take a break. Chris from Stanford. I watched the Bill Belichick press conference and understand that he's taking the Titans very seriously, but I wonder how seriously the players are taking this game and how you guys are looking at it. I know the Titans are 0-5 and understand the whole Bill Parcells thing about your record being what you are, although I agree with you, Fred, that it's much more accurate reading of a team's record at the end of the season than at the beginning. That said, are the Titans the best 0-5 team you've ever seen? Last week they got shredded by Peyton Manning, who, it pains me to say, is the best quarterback right now. No shame in that. I just hate to see the Pats overlook a game they need to win.
I don't think they'll overlook it.
Yeah. Well, based on the way they're talking, and you asked, Fred, what everybody's saying in the locker room, that's the message. They clearly have listened to what Bill is talking about. Now, whether or not they take it seriously out onto the field, we'll have to wait and see. Like you say, we'll have to wait till the game's played.
But it's a lot easier to spin the Titans are good when they – people expect them to be like a 13-3 type team. How about the next week when you're going to London?
It's going to be a tougher test
against a bad team that's really bad that you can't spin to be good in any way.
What he said.
I mean, you can buy into the. I almost bought Bill when he was put on the projector. I mean, I don't know how anybody who sits through a game.
I'll tell you the
only almost
thing.
Bought it. I almost went with it.
And I know
I'm picking the Titans. Thanks, Bill.
Just doing the preview stuff every week, you kind of look at all the different little matchups and stuff in the areas. Their special teams have been absolutely awful. And I was reading a thing from Jim Wyatt, who's a very, very good beat writer that works for the Tennessean, and he mapped out, and I wrote this, he mapped out like all the different ways their special teams have cost them different games, and Bill went on and say how great their coverage has been. And that, you know, usually he doesn't do that. He doesn't take the areas that are bad and say they're good. He doesn't usually do that. Yeah. And he did that in this case. That was the only thing. But the other stuff, Chris Johnson is as dangerous a back as there is
absolutely.
In the league. I mean, you know, Kerry Collins, yeah, he's had an up and down career, but he's capable of playing at a high level.
Right.
He did it last year for a whole year.
Right.
You know, their defense, they averaged 75 yards allowed on the ground a game. I mean, you got to figure the opponent wants to run the ball. Because
pretty good 0-5 team.
They've had big leads against them every year, every week, but teams still can't run the ball.
No.
There's talent there.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the view of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
And now, fun facts from Fred Kirsch.
Well, there's two times to judge a schedule, beginning of the season and at the end of the season. Judging your schedule at the end of the season always comes out more accurate because now you know how good these teams actually were.
And this is the guy who's expert indispensable.
That was a
fun fact
from Fred Kirsch.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, web radio at patriots.com.
The fact that you couldn't even say the word season tops that whole thing.
Probably had food in my mouth at the time, so
it's something in your mouth. It's the organization.
You see what he's doing to me?
Alan in Scotland says, telling you the answer of the question of who last beat the Patriots twice in one season, it was the Colts in 06.
Oh, 06.
The late night game in New England midseason and the
good
conference
call.
Championship in Indy.
Good call. That is correct.
So back-to-back years.
Back-to-back years had happened.
Down years there.
Because in 05, Denver, the regular season game, I want to say, is the infamous, what were you looking for there, Andy? And then they lost in the playoffs.
Not familiar with that one.
The horrendously officiated game when they called Asante Samuel for pass interference.
Isn't that redundant in the NFL?
Yes, it is, Andy. That's a good point.
It was just an NFL game.
Cormac from Ireland via Foxborough. Hope you're all well. And I'll see an all set to fly Eric Atlantic to London next week. Fred, I hope you won't be too mad as I'm sending my email in advance of the show, and
Cannot listen live. Forgive me, Lord Kirsch, but I am a poor Irish drunkard bastard. Three questions for you. One.
Make it a redundant.
Which team deserves the record more, Broncos who are 5-0 or the Titans who are 0-5? Sure, Broncos had their luck playing versus the Bengals, and I feel the Titans shouldn't be 0-5, but they did look pretty sucky versus the Colts. I think the Pats should bounce back with quite an easy win on Sunday.
I think the Titans deserve to be 0-5 more than the Broncos.
See, I was going to say the opposite.
I think there's one game either way.
I think
the Broncos probably should have lost opening day, and I think the Titans probably should have beaten Houston.
Yeah.
But other than that, the Titans deserve to lose their games.
Yeah. Two, is Chris Johnson what Maroney was meant to become? Chris Johnson is so exciting, but sometimes he does some Maroneyisms. During the Titans-Colts game, Johnson started doing some dancing in the first half of that game, and he got temporarily pulled from the game. Lindale White came in to show him how to hit a hole. Jeff Fisher should have asked Eric, saying that I'm sure Bill is trying to key his defensive strategy around stopping Maroney.
Stopping Johnson?
I think he meant Johnson.
Well, I don't think that's the comparison is there because, I mean,
Johnson's speed is
pure speed-based guy that I was and still am sort of surprised he's taken on a lead-back type role. I thought he would always have to be a complement, and he's taken two-thirds of their carries this year or whatever the number is and had a lot of success with it. Maroney is a big play guy, but you're talking about Chris Johnson was very willing to tell everybody the fastest guy in the NFL, and he doesn't think there's really a question that he is the fastest.
Yeah,
he also said he was a special guy. So he's pretty high on himself.
Son of a bitch. He's turned out to be a special guy.
So I think it's a little – like there was talk of what he was – it was kind of like the Reggie Bush stuff. What can Chris Johnson be? Do you need to use him in the slot sometimes and move him around? He's been a running back for them.
Man, whereas going to blow him up.
Now, I know we haven't watched enough. We haven't really watched any Tennessee so far this season. But do you wonder, as productive as Chris Johnson has been, if maybe they might – not be serving the offense best to continue that Lendale White thing a little bit. I think that maybe that was a better way to – I mean, he's been extremely productive. I'm not saying that he'd be more productive if Lendale White, but I think that maybe a little change up, that, you know, that pound it between the tackles and get to the edge with Johnson, I think might serve the offense a little bit better. I'm a little surprised that they've gone away from that. And White did a lot of work this offseason, slimming down too, getting in better shape.
He's a lot of work, or he stopped drinking tequila.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I know what a sacrifice that must have been.
I expect to see a good dose of Lendale White this week. I think they're going to have both guys because I think they want to run the ball a lot.
Now, that said, I don't think that's the way to beat the Patriots. I think Lendale White is the kind of guy the Patriots eat for breakfast.
Right.
Now, is he any faster? I haven't really watched him. Is he noticeably faster or more athletic with the less poundage?
Haven't seen enough.
Because, I think one of their best ways to beat this team is for, as I said, Chris Johnson to have 360-plus yard runs or something like he did against Houston.
You mapped it out perfectly. I mean, if that doesn't happen, the big plays, I think, are the only way they're going to stay in the game. But if they don't get the big plays, then they need to hold the ball for 35, 36, 37 minutes and keep the Patriots' offense off the field. I don't think it's going to happen.
Good matchup this week, Vince Wilfork and Kevin Mawai, huh?
Yeah.
Dirty trench warfare.
That would be not for the faint of heart.
Third question, to rattle old man Collins, we need to move him from the pocket. Does this mean we should expect to see more interior linebacker blitz packages with more pressure up the middle as opposed to from the flanks?
Sure. Fred thinks it's coming from Junior Seau. That's his role now, right?
Well, if he plays, I think
you will. You think you're going to see him freelancing and doing that old school A-gap blitz him where he's just hopping at the snap.
Yeah.
So
you know, three
case,
out of four jumps off sides, but whatever.
If that's the case, what's the over-under on how many times he jumps offside?
75% of the time he does it, he'll jump offsides.
All right, guys, I'm actually in Foxborough right now, and I'm going to Showcase Cinemas at Patriot Place later to see the new Michael Moore film. It's an unexpected trip as my grandmother died suddenly.
Sorry
to hear that. Otherwise, I would have tried to stop in and bring you lunch, but not sure that's going to be possible. Anyhow, not long until we all meet again in London. Sorry about the loss.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So,
but a Michael Moore film, really? We show that?
Let's see. Phil writes in, how is everyone there?
Good.
Don't be so down on the Pats. We have a lot to look forward to and a lot of season left. I need info on the radio URL.
where the station streams, so I can add the stream to the radio program on my iPhone, which would enable me to listen to you guys on the go. Thank you all there at Patriot Radio.
Crickets.
Doc, maybe you or Chris can send Phil the URL for the live stream. I think he's looking for the live stream.
See any of the Andre Johnson stuff from last week, by the way?
No.
Watch this. Boom. So. Boom. Just throws the guy into the end zone.
Pretty good player now.
Let's see. Josh writes in, and you know Josh is from Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, yeah. I thought this wuss was going to meet me in Denver with his big dog.
Andy's friend.
Any chance of that part of the problem with Galloway is that Brady is off his game? I know we give Tom, quarterback of the New England Patriots, the benefit of the doubt over Galloway, but no one is ready to cut Welker or Moss because of huge missed opportunities. Just playing devil's advocate. Either way, I think we can all agree that we need him out there to stretch things out. Hopefully he'll catch on because we don't have it right now on offense. Also, did any of you watch Monday Night Football featuring the Jets and Dolphins? Anyone else notice that Gruden was consistently making Jaws sound like a dumbass? I found it highly amusing. The highlight was definitely when Gabriel Wilson, free safety for the Miami Dolphins, was called for an unnecessary roughness penalty, a helmet-to-helmet hit on a defenseless receiver. The official's call was so obviously correct, Jaws tried to argue it with Gruden. Not sure if it is knowledge on the part of Gruden or just his delivery, but he laid the smackdown on Jaws, and Jaws looked like a real dope. I feel like this has been going on for most of the season. I have a little more respect for Gruden after listening to his analysis. I hope he sticks around on Monday Night Football, but I doubt it. He'll likely be coaching again soon somewhere. He really is dominating that.
He's good.
Three-man box.
They're talking about Gruden. Snyder's interested in him now. Really? He's part of that, the potential to take over for Zorn. But I saw the play that he's talking about, and Gabriel Wilson, to me, it was, you know, and I hate those penalties, but this one was kind of the epitome of what the NFL is talking about. He jumped in the air, launched himself completely with his arms almost by his side, and hit the tight end. It wasn't Keller. It was another tight end with his helmet. I mean, it was as clear as day, and they called it. And Jaws watches the replay in slow motion and says, I don't really like that call. I think that's, you know, it didn't really violate, he didn't lead with his helmet and he didn't launch himself, which to me on the replay, he clearly did both.
Right.
And Gruden goes, that's an easy call for the official. You got to call that. He's like, he goes, well, you know, and then he goes, you know, he led with his helmet. And Jaws goes, you think he led with his helmet? And he goes, yeah. It was like he was disgusted. It was like me and Andy talking to each other. Only, you know, they're on national television.
Yeah.
And Josh is right. He kind of made him look like a dope.
Josh says, I had an excellent time at the game on Sunday until the end, obviously. Big shout out to Ann Stone. The six-hour tailgate was a great experience. Photos attached, which Doc has printed out here. I wish I could have been at the poorhouse on Saturday, but I was staying outside of Denver. I certainly would have liked to add myself to the list of people who wanted to strangle Andy. That loss hurt, but it seems a little less painful when the cause of it seems so identifiable. Not sure how we fix the problems, but at least we can see the mistakes being made clearly. I'm with Fred. I'm more frustrated than anything. They will turn it around. So.
I mean, I completely agree with that. I'm not worried. I think this is a good football team, and I think we're going to win a lot of games. But who loses games and doesn't know why?
Well, I don't know. Well, I think – well, I know what he's saying, Paul.
But I'm asking, like, what – I mean –
there's no
– it was identifiable in week two as well.
I know, but you can lose games because, you know, if Randy Moss was blanketed, and that's why he didn't catch that pass. But – you see that the play was there for the taking, you know, things like that. The Welker play was there for the taking. It wasn't like Denver stopped it. We stopped it ourselves. And, you know that Brady isn't going to keep doing that. At least you think that based on evidence, right, based on history.
I mean, like I said, I'm not worried in the least. I think this is a good football team,
right.
And I think they're going to win. You know, I picked them to go 13-3, and I would be very surprised if they're one game off of that, and more than one game off of that. 12-4 is, to me, still the drop-dead worst.
If you switch quarterbacks and Kyle Orton had the day that Brady had and the Broncos had lost, I think Bronco fans would be like, oh, man, this guy's not good enough, you know? Even when the plays are there, he's just not good enough. You know Brady is good enough.
Yeah, but I think it would still be identifiable what the problem is.
Yeah, the problem is we don't have a good quarterback.
Right. Our quarterback's not good enough, so we've got to find other ways to do it.
But,
right now,
but here we
the
know
passing
that,
game's not good enough
because
it's not deep enough.
But here we know that's not the case. We do know the quarterback is good enough.
No, I know, but still, for five games, your offense hasn't met expectations.
Right. We're not going to win.
Despite being good enough at quarterback.
We're not going to win unless Brady turns things around, period. But we believe he will.
Yeah, but I believe Brady will turn things around. I'm not sure that's going to magically fix everything.
I think you win. I think you win out last Sunday if he had.
I think last Sunday you probably win if Brady has a better game. Yes.
Right. So now you're 4-1.
I don't think Brady could have played better than he did against Buffalo, and you won by a point.
Well, early in the game,
I thought he got better every quarter, Fred, by a lot.
Right, but if he had been Brady the whole time, it would have been a runaway.
I disagree. You won the game by a point, and he had one bad series in the game. I mean,
the Patriots had the ball for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, and he completed 75% of his passes for 380 yards.
No, Paul, come on.
Do you think he played a bad game opening night?
I think he didn't really turn it on until the end. Yes,
I think he turned it on in the second possession of the game. He started off slow and got better every quarter to the point where
he was absolutely
on fire in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, of course. That's the only reason they won.
He threw for
it's because he went on fire.
I think that when you go, do you remember what it was, Andy? Was it 38 for 52 or something like that?
Something like that.
He completed 75% of his throws. He didn't have a very long period where he wasn't on fire, is my point. Certainly much better in that game than he was on Sunday.
Joe in Owen Sound, Ontario, formerly Joe in Winnipeg. So Joe's moved.
I remember Joe in Winnipeg.
But now he's still in Canada.
I'm not like those other Quaalude-popping Patriots fans that think we should bench the game's best quarterback and fire the best coach and replace him with Herm Edwards just because we started the season 3-2 and have the same record as other terrible teams like the Steelers and Ravens. However, I would value your opinion as to whether you think these three games were lost in the locker room at halftime, i.e., did those teams make better second-half adjustments, or did the Patriots just fail to execute on the field?
The second. I think they just failed to execute.
Execution.
The two games this season?
Yeah, the two games they lost, they had
in 03.
Well, I thought you said these three games, and I thought there were specific three games.
I don't know.
You did say these three games. I know for a fact you said these three games. So I thought you were going to bring out the Steelers last year. I thought you were going to give me three examples. I try to listen when other people speak. Try it sometimes.
He's right, because I didn't even listen to that. I just heard.
Right.
I just
but you knew what he meant.
I assumed
you knew what he meant.
No, because I wasn't listening. I just assumed you were talking about the losses.
Right. That's what he was talking about. The losses.
But now I'm wondering if that's what he was talking about. If he mentioned three games, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, he's wondering if other teams are making better second half adjustments.
Well, I think
I thought he was going to pose, though. Like, I thought Super Bowl, Steel, like, I thought he was going to give me specific examples.
Well, he didn't.
If it's just this year, I think they haven't executed.
Yeah. I think that's what he meant.
And I think,
but I do think they got outcoached.
I think adjustments have been part of it, especially the Jets game, I thought, was night and day.
Yeah, yeah.
The Jets were night and day from one half to the second half.
I thought the Jets games, they made adjustments they didn't need to and went wristbands and all that crap with the communication on offense that I thought hurt them. On an offense that can't come together, it added another layer of confusion
right.
and time.
But that's
and this week,
throughout
I thought
the whole game they did.
The Wildcat right. caught them off guard, the Wild Horse, and Bill admitted that. They had to make adjustments and burn timeouts. That caught them a little bit off guard. So that's a couple examples of specific things opposing coaches did that hurt the Patriots' chances of winning that day on days where they went on to lose.
Okay. Let's see, webradio@patriots.com. What else do we have? Oh, we've got a lot of emails coming in now.
So
read some.
No, I'm just trying to go through them. I don't have someone here that, you know.
You need an email reader now?
I do. I should have someone that.
It's unbelievable.
That filters these. So
why don't we have Chrissy come in and do it from April 2010? Because I'd be happy to watch her read emails.
Jared,
especially if she holds her breasts. While
Jared from Swampscott says, I'm currently listening to Wednesday's podcast, but I'm emailing you during Thursday's show. I wonder if it might break Fred's brain as he decides whether or not to read this. I don't care if it's on the air, but I wanted to make you guys aware of this. I've been remembering to watch the TV show and never get tired of the face-off where they make it look like Paul and Andy are in separate studios. Then they zoom out and they're a foot away from each other. Anyway, I have – actually, I think Paul's hand went into Andy's box on the last
show. Does my wife know?
Keep my hand out of Andy's box.
Anyway, I have Fios, and on the on-screen guide, it never lists PFW TV as being on Tuesdays at 11.
It says, doesn't on Comcast either, which is my never
it
taste.
It says sports late night like it does every night. Not sure if it's a Fios thing or Neckin thing.
It's a Neckin.
But if you might look into it, it's annoying because I'd like to set up a series recording.
Thank you.
But if Chris Collins thinks I'm going to record him five times a week, he's out of his mind.
Guys, I couldn't agree more with an email. I bring it up every week, right? Here we go, boys. Every time I'm there, I say, are we ever going to get it on the guide?
Andy does
and
mention
it
every week.
Not just because of
changed.
That. How about for people that are scrolling through and see Patriots Football Weekly? I'll try that. Sports Tonight, I've tried that. Keep going. I mean, is it that hard? Aren't they all owned by Comcast, which does the guide, which is the cable provider? Thank you.
Yeah. It's
send an email. I'm sure it's in your email system, whoever does the guide.
Fault. It's Neckin's.
No, I know, but it's
absolutely.
Not like, I mean, it's within one company.
I know.
It's
Fred's
terrible.
Not happy.
Can you email somebody on a higher level? I don't. When you have meetings planning our show, you must cross paths with somebody on a higher level. Can you send an email? Don't ignore me. You're scratching your arm and looking away.
That was disregarded. Oh, wow.
I mean, see, that's the difference between you and me. You complain about stuff, but don't try to fix it. I try to fix things.
Yeah.
But you
still complain about stuff.
And they still don't get fixed. John from Albuquerque.
But the results are the same between the two of us.
John from Albuquerque, I play flag football in an adult league. I play for fun, but there is a competitiveness to it. I play because what way can you play football if you're an adult besides flag? Let's face it, it's not really a game. You can just play with some friends. Fat people sitting in a studio shouldn't be talking down on active people playing a game for a workout.
Well, listen, we need to know your exact age down to the month and the day.
I need to repeat this because I talked to Andy about this after the show yesterday. I absolutely did not explain myself properly. I am not saying that you shouldn't play at a certain age. I said this
34 and a half.
There should be, no. I play a lot of that stuff that I still find enjoyable. I play pickup basketball, but I think there's a difference between Fred, you mentioned softball yesterday. You know I played softball for a long time in a bunch of different leagues.
Right.
But there comes an age, I think, where when you're playing in tournaments on weekends and you're traveling all over the country, I played with a lot of kids that did that.
Right.
That, you know, they went down to Florida for the regionals and stuff like that.
Guys love it.
It's taken very seriously. I think when you hit like 35, 40, 45, it's time to stop doing that. It's time to get on with real life. I'm not saying it's time to stop playing softball. Or flag football in this case. We played bubble football and we liked it. But would you play bubble football in a league that was competitive to the point where the winner of the league plays in some tournament down in Rhode Island? And if you win that one, you go to Wembley Stadium to play in London? I mean, no, just dial it back a notch. Your days playing bubble football and having Belichick walk in and say, wow, I'm going to sign that guy. I've played with guys like that. Believe me, it's no fun.
Right.
It's that's all I'm talking about.
That's true. There are some guys when they play, or in pickup basketball, there's always the one guy.
There's always one guy who's over-exuberant, trying to play defense. He's denying you the ball. I just want to run up and down the floor. If I'm open from 20, I want to take a jumper. If my guy beats me off the dribble, I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to call fouls. I just want to go out and play.
Right.
Matter of fact, I'm going to play tonight.
No, I hear that. I hear that.
So I didn't explain myself properly yesterday. And Andy had this cutoff age that I was trying to. It had nothing to do with a cutoff age.
34 years, 6 months, 12 days.
But
you
it was
quit.
More of a competitive level thing. If you're playing bubble football, Fred and I played, and Andy played bubble football here at the stadium.
Well, Andy, but he's the opposite. He tried to punch a kid.
No, right. I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
How about members?
Somebody wanted to fight me.
Yeah, because.
How about some of the guys who would show up?
You were over-exuberant.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Fred, how about some of the guys, we'll leave them nameless, who would show up with the cleats.
I know, the wristbands.
And the gloves and all that stuff.
Right.
Seriously, Bill might come in and he might sign me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's no fun to me. Once you hit a certain age, you're kind of, you're beyond that.
Right. On the phone.
So my bad if I offended all you weekend warriors
Mike
out there.
Mike from Puerto Rico's on the phone. There. Mike, you got to make it quick because we're up against a break. Hello?
It's ringing.
He hung up.
So what's happening?
Who are you calling?
What are you doing over there?
Multitasking.
Are you listening to FM radio?
You're not good enough to succeed at one task when you focus all your energy on it. We've learned that. Don't multitask.
He's got.
You're done for the day.
Was that your BlackBerry that was ringing?
No, it was the caller. I picked up. I said, "Mike, you still there?" He goes, "Yes, barely." And then I held up the sign to you, and then he hung up.
Okay. Well, I tried, Mike. I tried. All right. Well, then let's take a break right now. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
All right, that music only means one thing, and it's time to go around the NFL.
Oh, I thought it meant Eric Scalavino was joining.
It's Thursday, but first, Eric.
Yeah, what's
is
up?
Back from practice. What up, Eric?
But what kind of voice is that?
Whatever voice it is.
All right,
just relax. I notice you're going with a crew neck sweater today.
Yes, thanks for noticing.
Now, do you prefer crew neck?
He told you were done.
Do you prefer? Do you prefer a crew neck?
No. Ma,
do you prefer a crew neck or V-neck?
It depends on. I don't know. It just depends
the mood.
You know, if I'm wearing a collared shirt or not,
right?
That has.
Now, do you lay out
it.
Your sweater the night before?
No.
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 Do you have a special drawer for your sweaters?
I put them in a drawer.
So you have one drawer that's just sweaters?
No, it's like a, I don't know, what
closet?
Bureau. It has several drawers.
Yeah, but you have one of those drawers devoted to the sweaters?
You have several drawers of sweaters?
A shelf. There's a shelf.
Oh, it's a shelf?
Yeah.
So it's not a bureau.
Well, that's, what would you call
bureaus
it then?
Bureaus have drawers. Shelves are...
It says shelves on the bottom, shelves on the top and drawers on the bottom. What do you call that? Like a, I don't know.
An armoire? If it has doors in the front, it's an armoire.
On the bottom, and then on the top there are shelves with an open door.
It's like a, you know.
I have one question.
Paul is giving him the most intense stare.
I actually have a legitimate. Do you wear sweaters so you don't have to iron? Because that's where I wear.
No.
On days when I don't want to iron, I put a sweater on.
No, all my shirts are ironed.
Sweaters don't wrinkle, really.
What are you going to do with a shirt like that?
Yeah, well, who's going to do it for me?
I don't know. You send it to the cleaners.
Folded it in a drawer?
No,
or
I do
hanging?
That.
This was hanging.
The only thing I send to the cleaners
so
is like suits.
Generally, with a large pattern, you can get away with some wrinkles. The lines in the pattern.
But if you have
wrinkles.
It hanging up, why would you have to iron it?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when you squish them together and it gets a little twisted or something.
No, I wear sweaters because when it gets colder, I'd rather be comfortable than,
I don't mind sweaters. I like sweaters. I wear sweaters once in a while.
I might go through a new sweater phase.
Fred doesn't like to pull things over his head.
He's fat.
That's because all those times when he was in middle school and they used to pull his shirt over his head, and his underwear over his head. And
your grandmother must like you wearing sweaters, right?
Both of my grandmothers are passed away, so thanks for mentioning that. Nice job, Fred. Way to go, Fred.
What are you going to do, right?
You're going to not mention that. That's what you're going to do.
I have to know, like, everybody's lineage now?
Lineage.
I mean, you've known us all these years. I think you would care a little bit about our, you know, our personal lives, Fred.
Not really. All right.
You want to know about practice?
Yeah, let's hear about practice.
Taylor and Light remain out. But Moss and Warren were back. Moss, no surprise. He doesn't practice on Wednesdays. Yeah. You were right. He's going to start getting upset about that.
we talked about it yesterday.
But they were in full pads, and special teams is going to be a focus again, Fred, because the last few weeks, usually Friday is where they start with the kickoff team.
Yeah.
They've been doing it on Wednesdays, Thursdays, all midweek now, so I think they're trying to get something out of that kicking game.
Well, and it's good to get these guys out of a routine if you think, special teams are all going to be on a Friday, right, and then you throw it to them on a Thursday. It's like, you know.
So, and, you know, full pads, so some hitting today, most likely. And it's very cold out there.
Is it very cold?
It's pretty cold.
Very cold?
I had to put the...
It's not very cold. I mean,
it's like 40s. In the 40s. Yeah,
that's not very cold. Come on, Eric.
For the time of year, it's sort of cold.
It's very cold here. That's not very cold.
For the time of year.
For the middle of the afternoon in mid-October, that's pretty cold.
Unseasonably cold.
Like everyone was saying, Denver is freezing. It wasn't that bad.
Saturday night it was, not during the game.
Saturday night? What are you kidding
Saturday
me?
Saturday night it was cold.
Tara would disagree about during the game, though, because she had to stand out there for the whole time.
But that's different. You'd be cold here doing that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was unseasonably cold Saturday night in Denver.
Tennessee 03, that was cold.
If
that's the only thing that you're basing cold on, you're right.
It's like his dynasties. There's only one cold game. There's only one dynasty.
It was 40 degrees colder that night than it is today.
I'm just trying to toughen you guys up. Come on.
You're tough.
Come on. All right.
Whatever.
Is that it, Eric? Yeah, what else?
No, that's it.
That's it? Nothing else to tell us?
No.
Okay.
Now, will you tell us something tomorrow that you should have told us today about practice?
Oh, I forgot. Tom Brady's arm was in a sling.
Don't joke about that.
No, nothing else.
Okay.
Did you give us the practice players of the... Oh, they lost.
They lost. No practice players of the week.
Not used to these losses coming so close together.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, what happened last week?
All right, it wasn't a great week. Well, it was okay in terms of picking winners, but it wasn't very good by the number. Eric went 10-4.
Oh, good, Eric.
The rest of us went 9-5. And with the spread, Eric went 7-7. That was the best.
Wow.
And then Andy and Fred went 6-8, and I went 5-9.
That's not good for us. We're always over 500.
Well, you're not, but.
This 1 year, I'm having a bad year.
No, actually, it was one year you had a good year.
You had one good year. Usually you suck.
No.
The overall leader remains Andy, 56-20.
Kenyan, baby.
Eric and I are 51-25. And Fred is 49-27. With the spread,
Kenyan baby.
Andy is 43-33. I am 40-36. Eric is 37-39. Fred is 34-42. So, there we go. Through 5 weeks, Andy still setting the pace.
He's going to fall off.
And kicking it off this week is another dog of a game. Last week I told you all about the home underdogs. There were a lot of them. This week it's the opposite. There's only a couple. For the most part, the home team is the favorite. Kansas City at Washington in a real dog of a game. The Redskins are favored by 6.5.
Oh, boy. Redskins by 6.5. This is a bad football game.
Yeah.
Lackluster teams. I know there's already talk of Jim Zorn's future in Washington, and the players want him to get a vote of confidence or whatever. I'm not going to give him a vote of confidence. I'm taking the Chiefs on the road to win this and maybe end the Jim Zorn era. They lose at home to the Chiefs. Matt Castle getting it done.
Jim Zorn was Fred's coach of the year last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He started out all right.
He did.
Who did you pick?
Chiefs. Try to listen next time. Yeah. Don't be like Fred.
I was watching this high school thing where they had blocked a field goal. They had a field goal blocked, and everybody stopped, and then the team that had it blocked picked it up and ran in for a touchdown to win the game.
Yeah, saw that. That was tough luck for that kid. I'm going to follow the Kenyan, go with the Chiefs. It's a horrible game, but you know what? The Chiefs have Matt Castle, and he's not too bad when he's been playing. So I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the road dog too. Kansas City, I think, has played competitively most weeks, and I think they'll beat Washington on the road outright.
I'll take Washington to win, but not cover. So I'll split the difference.
Okay, moving on. Houston is at the surprising 4-1 Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals favored by 5.
This could be a good game to watch.
They're really exciting to watch.
Houston at the Bengals?
Yes.
Bad defense in Houston. I'll say the Bengals will put up some points and win.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I just think that they're playing a little bit better than Houston right now. Houston's still too inconsistent, and I kind of like what I'm seeing from the Bengals this year.
I like Cincinnati as well to win the game, but I'm going to take the 5 points. I think they win by a field goal. I'll take Houston to cover.
I'm going to take Houston for the road upset. I think Cincinnati can't handle success, and they kind of fall back this week a little bit.
All right, moving along to Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
I will take Pittsburgh.
By 14.
To win by more than 14, because they will cover, because Mendenhall is ridiculous. And he was off to a good start last week before he got reeled in. He doesn't get reeled in by the Browns.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
I'm definitely going to pick Pittsburgh to win. I'm torn about this number, though. 14 is a lot.
I don't know if this means anything to you, but last week there was a 14.5-point spread and a 15.5-point spread. Both favorites covered.
Was Pittsburgh one of them?
In the last 2 weeks, two touchdown favorites or more have covered in 5-0.
Cameron and Hank.
Was Pittsburgh one of those teams last week?
No.
I'll take Cleveland with the points.
Pittsburgh was only favored by 10.
I'll take Cleveland with the points.
Cleveland with the points. I'll take Pittsburgh in to cover at home against a team that completed 2 passes last week and won. I thought for sure that I had heard that wrong the first 7 times I heard it. He was 2 for 17?
Yep.
That is absolutely amazing to me that they won a game while doing that little offensively.
I'll take Pittsburgh to win but not cover.
All right. And we'll go to what should be a good matchup. Baltimore struggling suddenly, 2 losses in a row, at Minnesota.
Oh, you know, I'm actually rooting for the Ravens. In this
Vikings
game.
By 3.
I shouldn't be, but I am.
Another interesting struggle is Adrian Peterson a little bit, since he blew out of the gates here, come crashing down to earth, matched up against a Ravens defense, which Paul Perlow was the most surprised guy on the planet
Absolutely.
When they allowed a 100-yard rusher last week, despite the fact that Tim Hasselbeck told him
predicted
it was going
it.
To happen.
Tim Hasselbeck, you got to give him his
Paul
props.
Chastised him. He was right. I'm going to say the Ravens bounce back here because of that. I have the fear that Peterson is due for a breakout performance. I'll just say Ray Lewis and company will be a little bit embarrassed, a little worked up over giving up the 100-yard rusher that they so held on to as like a badge of dominance or whatever. So I'll take the Ravens to bounce back and win this game.
What's the number in this game again, Paul?
Minnesota by 3.
Ooh, that's a close one. I agree with Andy, though. I think Minnesota's due for their first loss. And the Ravens are just a good enough team to do it, I think, even though they're on the road.
And call a spade. You hate Brett Favre, and you're just rooting for losses to pile up.
Yeah.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, I don't care about that. I hate
Brett Favre.
Because I
don't hate
right
Brett Favre.
Now, I don't care about their wins, but I just think Baltimore's a better team. I think it won't be an easy game, but I think they go on the road and they win. Look, if they lose 3-3, they'll be doing some soul searching because I think they feel they're a pretty good team and maybe they're not as good as they thought they were.
And Mike Golic agrees with us. He just made the pick on ESPN.
I agree with Paul. Baltimore wins this game. I think Brett Favre throws three interceptions under duress.
To Ed Reed, they could be 3 touchdowns.
St. Louis travels to Jacksonville. Jags by 10.
Who are the Jacksonville Jaguars?
The same fraud team they've been for a decade under Jack Del Rio or however long he's been there. Bullies, fraudulent, home, away. You can't get a read on them. I get a read on them. I take them this week because the St. Louis Rams stink. That's the only reason I would feel confident about taking the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm taking Jacksonville, too, just because St. Louis is one of the worst teams in the NFL. And not that the Jaguars are that far behind them, but they're at home, so I'll go with them.
Del Rio.
I'm going with Andy's bully theory. I think last week I picked Seattle because I didn't think Jacksonville was strong enough or tough enough to go across the country and play in Seattle. They lost 41-0. I'm going to pick Jacksonville this week because this is the kind of game at home against a terrible team where they think they're a good team and they win going away. So I'll lay the 10 points. I'll take Jacksonville.
Why are we passing notes in class?
I'm going to go with Jacksonville as well. Is that somebody's email
for the next
address?
Show. It's for the next show.
What next show? Next Tuesday?
No.
No, the show that comes on at 2 o'clock after this show.
Wow.
There's a show after this one?
Well,
I don't know. I keep getting the ratings.
The word show is
I keep getting the ratings book, and I can't find it.
It never shows up.
New York Giants, Andy, in the game of the day at New Orleans. Two undefeated teams. Mm. Saints at home, favored by 3.
Saints with a big play defense, thanks to Darren Sharper, one of the great additions of the offseason, an aged vet who's doing what he's always done, making big plays. Eli Manning playing well, although you have the question still about the injury. I got to go with the Giants just because I think they're the more balanced team, and in these matchups, I always try to take the balanced team. I don't think the Saints even have kind of come down to earth a little bit on offense after the really, really ridiculous start. So I'll take the Giants to win on the road. On the road, right?
It's correct. The Giants are on the road, yeah. And for that reason, I'm going to take the Saints because I think the offense might have come down to earth a little bit, but I think they still have the potential to put up 30 to 40 points. And Manning is still, you know, questionable with his whatever that foot problem is.
Plantar fasciitis.
Yeah. So I'm going to take the Saints at home.
I am going to take the Giants, and I'm watching a very impressive fake punt the Jets ran the other night. The punter actually made a nice move in the open field. I like the Giants in this game. Like I said earlier in the show, I think the Giants right now are the best team. Now, Eric is right. I worry about Manning's injury and how that could affect him here. But I think they have enough to get by. This ought to be a good game. I wish we could watch it. What time is this game on? Anybody know?
1 o'clock.
Maybe we'll get a chance to watch that locally on Fox. Hopefully that'll be a game that we get to see before our game on Sunday.
Tell them to put it on in the press box.
Word.
Well, I'll just watch it.
I'm going to go with New Orleans this game. Usually I have extensive analysis on each one of these, but this is just a gut call. I think the Saints win.
That's one of your best
lines. Better listen to that one then.
Another dog game.
He's always going to go with his gut because it's always 5 feet out in front of him, leading the way.
Andy?
Hitting your fat forehead.
Oh, that's a bad, bad visual. Why is my forehead near your gut?
He is the boss, Andy.
It's like a Bonnie the Beak Bernstein reference.
Oh.
You give him a raise, he'll give you a promotion, if you know what I'm saying.
What? What?
I'm not doing anything.
Is this what happened in one of your former jobs, Eric?
I don't even know you guys anymore. Carolina is at Tampa Bay, Andy, in the
bad game of the week.
One of the two home dogs, the Bucs, are getting 3.5.
Okay.
Okay, Jim.
I'll take Carolina just because they're the slightly better bad team. They have a coach I respect and like, I guess, and they have a couple running backs. Tampa has, you know, virtually nothing I'm enamored with, so I can't pick Tampa ever.
Mm. Yeah, the slightly better bad team is a good way to put it. I think they'll win by 6.
And Carolina had expectations. I mean, not to the degree of Tennessee, but they're sort of like, you know, you kind of respected them coming into the season, and now they stink.
Think Julius Peppers is happy that he stayed in Carolina, by the way?
Well, it wasn't his doing.
I know.
They didn't trade him.
I'm just saying.
But he's playing well.
By all accounts, he's sulking.
He had a couple of sacks last week, so maybe starting to break out of it. I think he had a couple of sacks anyway. But I will I do like the Panthers in this game for the reasons that Eric and Andy said. Tampa's so bad, but it's not too late for the Panthers. They're only 1-3. You win this one, you're 2-3, and you know, maybe you get something going. So they need this one, and they can't afford to lose to a winless team on the road.
I can't pick Tampa Bay. You got to go with the Panthers in this game.
Right then. Detroit is at Green Bay, Andy. The Packers have laying a whopping 13.5.
13.5.
Nice catch by Brandon
Big
Evans.
Number. I will take the Packers to win. Stafford still out?
He practiced yesterday, so I think he's coming back.
You know what? I'm not sold on the Packers defense, so I will Dom Capers. I really put a lot of confidence in him.
Not feeling
so good about it. It's kind of like when I put all my confidence in Jim Bates a couple years ago and it blew up in my face.
I remember that.
So I will take the points and the Lions to keep it within 13.
I'll take Green Bay to win.
He's got his cheat sheet.
But I like to be consistent, Andy.
I don't. I like to
win. Then why are you thinking about it? The answer's right there.
I'm thinking about the points, Fred. We only make one pick in the paper.
Why do you give him such a hard time?
Unbelievable.
He doesn't handle it well.
The last person who gave him that hard a time, he put in the hospital, in boarding school.
Is that right?
The guy picked on him.
Why do we not talk about
day,
that more?
Beat the snot out of him, left him in a bloody pulp, and sent him to the hospital.
Back at St. Mark's?
Yes, so you better
Paul's.
Be...
Paul's. St. Mark's is a different school, and it's not as prestigious.
and it's actually pronounced...
So do your parents constantly remind you how they flushed all that money down the toilet?
I remind them plenty.
Between high school and college?
I remind them plenty. What was the grand
sum? Because I think you could have done what you're doing by going to, like, you know, Peabody.
$250,000.
I went to the same school as him. Shut up.
North Providence. Whatever.
They could have had a summer home in Hawaii for what they...
That's going to really...
It's my biggest regret in
life. That's
going
to really burn you, too,
yes.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Not going to North Providence High?
The fact that I went to BU and you went to BU and you're so intellectually superior.
What's your biggest regret in life?
How he's ended up.
That I didn't do better at St. Paul's.
Oh.
Well, you mean grade-wise?
Everything-wise.
Oh, you didn't try your hardest?
No,
that's
no. There was a whole host of issues. I'm not going
well,
to get into here. No, I'm not going to get into it.
Wait a minute. Now, this is one
we
of your greatest of regrets in life,
and this is true.
It
so
is true.
It's out there.
I'm not making fun of you, but
yet he doesn't have the details to make
drugs?
Fun of.
Oh no, no,
you involved
no, no,
in drugs?
No, no, no.
Come on,
women.
You think Eric could be involved in drugs?
Was it an all boys school?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay. So
it was a long time ago, but
not when you
the 70s. No, the 70s.
So there were girls there.
Of course.
Did you get involved with a bad girl?
A bad girl.
Yeah,
she's
baby.
A bad girl.
So what happened? What happened?
Spank?
No, it's just...
Problems with your teachers?
Lubricants.
Did people make fun of you?
Well, no, it's just...
Well, yes. I just told you. He put a kid in the hospital.
You just made a comment that it was your biggest regret.
You didn't try hard enough.
Give
is that
something.
Right?
Give us something to explain why you're
you didn't,
so...
No, it's
well
not that
to freedom.
I didn't try hard enough. It's just...
Could have done better.
Could have done better. I know I could have done better.
And
I feel like that with pretty much my entire scholastic career.
Yeah, I know my high school. I could have... done a lot better.
No, but when you have an opportunity to go to a school like that, you should make the absolute most of it in every sense, in every case.
Right.
And
did you get all A's?
No. I mean, didn't do horribly, but I could have done a lot better. And
I should have gone
to a lot better college.
So you wanted Ivy League.
And there you go.
You wanted Ivy League.
And that's what it all falls down to. He just can't stomach the fact that, you know, a sports moron such as me went to the same college as he did.
It has nothing to do with you, Paul. Trust me.
I was accepted to BU, so that should be even worse, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Andy went to Tufts.
So it was two gender.
Yeah.
No one needs you chiming in back there.
Yeah. And no one from St. Paul should be going to,
BU.
BU.
Then they shouldn't.
No.
It's true.
All your friends
BU
went
likes to
Ivy
consider
Ivy
itself
League.
An Ivy
and I,
League school.
No, and I wanted to transfer after a year, and I heard all these people, when I told them I wanted to transfer, they were like, oh, that's a great school. You're in the BU Business School. It's a great place. Don't ever leave. No, it's a great – and I listened to the
You
bad
were an
advice.
SMG?
I was an SMG.
But wait a minute. Now, in all fairness, though, Eric, there's a lot of successful people that have come out of BU.
I know, but sure. it wasn't for me, and I knew that when I went there.
Something happened at BU.
What?
Things happened
Girls,
at BU.
Drugs.
Yeah, was it a bad professor?
Right. No, but it wasn't the right fit for me.
That time
and
behind the boathouse?
And I
along the Charles?
Then that's when they smoke it.
He says he's not making fun, but then he starts making
he
fun.
He needs a girl.
Yeah. So, anyway, we got
a group of girls
for
you overpowered.
We don't have many picks to make.
Well, we have,
thanks.
All
we have plenty
games.
Of time for your life's
we'll
greatest regrets.
We'll talk about
regrets.
This later.
Freddie, Green Bay in Detroit. I like Green Bay here. I'm laying the point.
Yeah, Green Bay wins but doesn't cover.
I gave you Detroit with the number, right?
Yes, you did, Eric. Right around the time when you talked about your biggest regrets in life.
Oh, but this is interesting.
And he's got a lot of regrets.
The only other home...
That's the
comedy career, the TV career, the radio
career, the PR career.
I
screwed up my college years a little bit.
The lubricant career.
I shouldn't have went first to University of Tampa. I went there for the wrong reasons.
A girl?
The son?
No.
Drugs?
You know.
Poon?
You know, having Tang. Fun.
Whoa, did what? Hey, what?
I don't know.
I didn't
tang.
Say,
it's the stuff.
Was tang.
It's big in Florida because of NASA.
Right.
A lot of tang
right,
down
yeah.
there.
Right.
It's like there's a lot of beaver Creek.
A lot of whaling. So a lot of harpoons.
All right,
is
Andy.
What saying?
The only other home dog is Oakland. Philadelphia.
I'll take the other team. You don't
Philadelphia
have to
at Oakland. 14 points.
I'll take Philadelphia. Thank you.
Yeah.
Move on.
Philly.
Yeah, I'll take Philly and I'll lay the points as well.
The Bush
push. I'm going to take Oakland to cover. Maybe. Philly
I like
wins.
Pushing a bush.
It's,
no,
the Notre Dame,
it's the Notre
Dame
USC
game. That's what we're talking
doctor.
About.
Get it's your on, mind out of the gutter.
Stop it.
Just stop.
Stop. Arizona at Seattle.
uh, Matt Hasselbeck tweeted.
Actually, there's not much bush to push.
Matt Hasselbeck tweeted that his mom is in town and she's 16-0 at Questfield. His mom.
The lady we featured in a PFW right. a couple years ago.
So, it rained Betsy for Hasselbeck. 14 straight days.
That's the one.
And on the 15th
21,
day,
actually. I
and
think.
On the 15th day, they arrested.
Who they, who, what's
Arizona the at Seattle. Arrested. Seahawks by 3.
Seahawks by 3.
Huge NFC West game.
Big one.
It is.
And you know who I'm taking?
No. We're waiting with bated breath, though.
The Arizona Cardinals on the road pull the big upset. Big.
Huge.
Big. In the NFC West.
Are you cheating off me? No. I keep having to agree with the Kenyan over here.
The Kenyan's winning. Follow a Kenyan. When you're racing, follow a Kenyan.
I'm taking Arizona.
Unless it's a sprint. Then take it Jamaican.
I like, as long as Hasselbeck plays, I think that Seattle team is pretty good. And, you know, he looked great last week. I'll take the Seahawks.
I'm with Paul. I'm taking the Seahawks.
Oh, split down the middle.
Let's see. Buffalo at the New York Jets. Jets by 10.
Jets. Wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice?
If
Buffalo could pull this off.
There's a lot of things to be nice. It'd be nice if I won the lottery, but I don't win the lottery.
They could pull this off.
I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills to lose at the New York Jets. I think the Jets are the better football team. Buffalo, I got nothing for them. Nothing.
10 points?
Sure.
They already lost the division game another division game this week to, actually, it was their first division game, I guess, to Miami. And I don't think they're going to lose to the Bills, who are a horrible team. So I'll take the Jets.
Do the Jets get to play home every week? It just seems that way.
He really is the Jesus of Homer.
Lost in Miami.
I'm just watching a replay of their last week's game in Miami. I'm going to take the Jets, but I don't like the 10 points. I'll take the Bills to cover the 10.
No, I think the Jets win and they cover. So,
all right. Chicago. This should be a decent matchup. Chicago at Atlanta.
Interesting.
Falcons by 3.
I don't like Jay Cutler, personally. So, therefore, I am going to go
game?
With the Atlanta Falcons.
No, yeah, 8:20.
To win at home and cover.
Sunday night.
Who'd you take?
Atlanta.
That's who I'm going with, too. They're a better team. Matt Ryan's a better quarterback.
Jake Cutler's a bum.
I agree with the two boys that preceded me. Atlanta's the better team, and Matt Ryan's a better quarterback.
I'm really not sure how good Atlanta is this year.
They're just okay, but Chicago is not that good, I don't think.
They're better than Chicago.
What's the number?
3.
Yeah, I'll go with Atlanta just because they're home.
I can't do as good as the old with these windscreens on here that we used to do.
All right, the Monday night game. Denver, the 5-0 Broncos at San Diego.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
The Chargers are favored by 4.
I would never, ever
good, Doc.
Root for San Diego, but I am now.
I told this to Paul while the Broncos were beating the Patriots. I'm still not sold on the Broncos. They go on the road. The Chargers have been weird this year. Like, they had that game with Pittsburgh where they went down 28-0. Then they tried to fight back into it. They have bursts of play. They have bursts of talent. I am going to say that they are going to get it done. I'm going to say Denver, maybe a little bit because of your boy, Fred, Josh McDaniels, has a little bit of a letdown. Maybe a little too much celebration. I don't know if he can keep this ball rolling. And I think that the Chargers win a big, big one out west.
Like you, Andy, I'm not sold on the Broncos just yet, but I'm less sold on the Chargers. I think the Bronco undefeated streak continues at 6-0.
Wow.
Wow.
I am somewhat sold on the Broncos as being a good team. Not a great team. Not a great team. However, I think that San Diego is the ultimate front-running home team. Bright lights. Andy's right. They've been really good in spurts this year. I think they put it together against Denver. And listen, the Broncos have a stretch here of games that everybody thought they were going to lose them all. Dallas, New England,
right.
San Diego, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore, I think, are, you know, 5 or 6 of their games in a row. They've already won 2 that everybody thought they were going to lose. They're not going to win them all.
Right.
They lose this one.
Yeah, I'm with Paul. But at the end of the game, North Turner, after winning, goes over to the Denver bus and hugs Eddie Royal.
He's just so bitter.
He really is. It's embarrassing.
It's funny, though. It's funny. And that's it. We have hit the Tennessee-New England portion of the program. Patriots are favored by 9.5.
Really?
Mm. Mm.
That's scary.
Not for me, it's not.
Yeah, I'm not really scared about the number. I'm scared about the lone outside chance that Tennessee just puts it together and makes some plays and becomes more like the team everybody thought they were coming into the season. I think this is a game the Patriots either
win easily because there really are the 0-5 Tennessee Titans with problems on special teams, problem on defense, and problems on offense, or they put it together. But I'm going to say the Patriots win and cover because I can't predict the unexpected from the Titans. We may see it. I just can't predict it.
You hate when you go up against a team like this because you know they're going to eventually win.
Right.
And there's a chance now that two rookies are going to start at corner against a wide receiver group that hasn't lit it up so far this year. Is this the perfect time to do it? I'll obviously take New England to win. Paul, you've already written it down, I'm sure.
Yeah, I did.
I'll roll the dice with the points. I'll take New England.
Yeah, I like the Patriots really, really big in this game. I don't think there's much of a chance that Tennessee has. I really don't. I think that they do have talent, but I think they've given up. You know, I read enough stuff last week with this team, you know, and I made the comparison. Sometimes they're young teams that haven't won, like Kansas City. Right. They're trying to establish themselves. They're looking for an identity, new coach, new quarterback, new GM. They're still fighting hard. I watched their game with Dallas last week. They played tooth and nail. They fought hard all game, and they could have won. Tennessee is the opposite. It's a veteran team that had Super Bowl aspirations. They know that's over now, and I just think that they mail it in.
But do you think that if somehow Tennessee's in the game in the second half that Patriots are in big trouble?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. I think they need to get off to a fast start and make sure you keep a bad team down. And immediately they're all saying, here we go again.
Right.
We're one-dimensional on offense. Right. Kerry's going to throw a couple
of picks.
You can't
give them any hope. So I think the Patriots do cover because if they don't, I think they might lose the game.
Who thinks Vince Young is going to play?
I do.
I kind of do too.
Start?
No, but play.
Oh, yeah, he'll get some snaps.
Well, you mean because you think the Patriots are going to blow him out?
Well, yeah.
He won't play in a close game. He'll only play if it gets out of
hand. But I think he's going to have a quicker hook than normal.
Right.
Other than injuries, he won't play unless the game's out of hand, in my opinion. Because I don't think that Fisher likes him. I think Fisher has completely had it with him. He doesn't want any part of him.
I got to tell you, I'd be done with
Fisher.
Yeah,
the last thing he wants is for him to
come
back.
I think
it might be time to be done with Fisher, too. Too many of these wild fluctuations.
Yep.
You know,
12
his good
wins
years,
down to 5 wins.
His good years are good, but like I could never see a Bill. I know that we compare everything to Bill. I could never see a Belichick team going from 13-3 one year to 4-12 the next. I could never see that happening.
Last year was a perfect example. They could have easily gone 4-12, and they
didn't.
Plus,
it's his show. He's like executive vice president. I mean, he is the Belichick. It's his show. And if you have questions about the franchise quarterback you drafted, well, that's on your shoulders, and it might just be time for him to do the year off, do TV. I think he's a good coach, and then go elsewhere and start another run in 2 years.
Yeah, it's not over for Jeff Fisher, the coach. No. I think it's over for the Tennessee.
Too long, same place.
Tennessee coach.
Yeah.
Because I do think he's a good football coach. I just don't think I think he's worn out his welcome. I think Andy's right.
All right.
What are you looking for, Fred, for final score?
I think on the TV I said 38-19. I'll stick with that.
Double them up, huh?
I like it something like that. 37-16.
You know, Andy says he doesn't believe they'll get in the 30s.
I said I'm not picking them to get in the 30s till they prove to me they can get
in
the
30s. I don't blame you for saying it.
There's one thing about having plays out there that could lead to 30 points. There's another thing to complete the plays and get 30 points.
Yeah, I think this secondary is so bad. I think they're going to find the ways.
28-10, maybe.
Yeah. Find the ways to put points on the board. Yeah. I think that the Titans might put some points on the board, too. Some, just not enough to keep up.
Yeah.
Because once the Patriots get a lead and they can't run the ball anymore, that's game, set, match.
You know, I really think the other thing that's working against them, besides the cornerbacks being hurt and the secondary being in shambles, Kerry Collins just doesn't have it that he had last year. That was the other part of their success, is the defense was keeping him in games and Collins was
Like, that's the stuff that you can't tell when you're not watching the games, because if you read all the stories and you listen to Fisher, that's not been the case. But I'm talking about this year.
Yeah.
He hasn't been.
Right.
I mean, if you read that stuff, he's been fine.
Collins has.
Yeah. Now I don't believe it. I see the interceptions and I see the big deficits early, and I'm saying, well, just because the other team scores early in the game doesn't preclude you from being able to match it, and they've fallen behind by multiple scores every game. You know, the Jets were up 14-0 on them. The Colts 21-9 at the half. Houston, you know, put up 34 points on them. That was the only game that they matched the score for score, and they went back and forth. I don't see why you can't do that. So they're all saying it's not Kerry Collins, but I got to think it's at least a little Kerry Collins.
He's the quarterback. He gets the credit. He gets the blame.
Yep.
I just think, you know, with Vince Young, part of the problem was you didn't have a passing game. You had like this patchwork passing game because he was running around. and regardless of the other stuff where he quit on the team, the idea with Collins is he can give you some semblance of a pass, make a couple throws that you need to make, and I don't think he's doing that, and that's why he's there. It's why I had my doubts about them re-signing him and him being the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans moving forward. You know, maybe they felt they didn't have any other options with Young and going out to get one, but they tied their wagon to him, and the wagon is broken.
All right, is John here?
No, John's Eric. Not here today.
John, what?
Just
John's
Eric.
Not here today.
It's the Just Eric Show.
You're going to do a solo
guests.
Show?
I have guests.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of
it's
PSW
secret,
in Progress.
So stay tuned.
She's up next. Let's go, Patriots, 4:15 against Captain? The Titans. We'll see you next Tuesday.